Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. In Lowliness and Meekness, a sermon by Archbishop John T. Calhoun, Jr., late Metropolitan of the Anglican Catholic Church. In today's Gospel, St. Luke describes what sounds almost literally like the dinner party from hell. One of the chief Pharisees has invited Jesus to his house to eat. It seems pretty clear that the invitation was less an act of sociable kindness than an attempt to set Jesus up. The invitation was for Saturday, the Jewish Sabbath, an indication of trouble to come. The fourth of the Ten Commandments reads, "Remember that thou keep holy the Sabbath day." The original purpose of the commandment was to see to it that nobody worked all the time. The logic of it is, God created for 6 days and then rested on the seventh. If even God took a day off, shouldn't you? The human mechanism needs time off if it is to function properly. God does not smile upon workaholics. The emphasis in the commandment is on rest. Rest for people, rest for animals, even rest for the land. The problem was that between the time of Moses and the time of Jesus, Hebrew teachers had clouded over the original commandment. There were 153 regulations which spelled out what constituted working on the Sabbath. You could walk a certain distance, but no further. You could do some things, but not others. The regulations were so nitpicking that the Sabbath had gone from being a day of rest and relaxation to a day spent worrying about violating it by breaking one rule or another. Jesus was known to be opposed to all that, reminding the rabbis about God's original intention. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So Jesus knew being invited over for a Saturday meal probably meant there would be more on the menu than bread. As he walked into the Pharisee's house, he nearly fell over a man who was plagued with swelling, water retention, edema, what the King James Bible calls the dropsy. Jesus' religious enemies, who have also been invited to the party, are watching to see what he will do. Never one to pass up a moment of high drama, Jesus looks over at them and says, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" They don't say anything. If they said yes, they might be accused of encouraging Jesus to break their own regulations. If they said no, they would look even more heartless than they probably already were. Jesus does not wait around for any further debate. He heals the man and lets him go. Then he points out the hypocrisy of his self-appointed judges by saying, "You won't tell me if it is lawful to restore a human being to health on a Saturday, but you know perfectly well that if you go home this afternoon and you find one of your prize animals has fallen into a ditch, you're going to haul him out, and you're not going to stop to ask yourself what day of the week it is." As they stood there in silent astonishment, the host announced that it was time to eat. Jesus observed that quite a few of the invited guests climbed all over one another to get a seat near the host so they could look like the most important guest. Jesus suggested that that is a bad strategy. Not only is it loutish and mortifying from the etiquette mismanners point of view, but it shows deep spiritual dislocation as well. In the book of Proverbs, King Solomon says that it is not smart to put yourself forward in the presence of the king. If important people have half a brain, they can recognize toadying when they see it, and they are not impressed. Jesus says it is a far better strategy to take a lower seat at the table. If that is indeed where you are supposed to be, nobody will need to say anything, and nobody will be embarrassed. But if you are, in fact, supposed to have the better seat you think you deserve, then the host will invite you up higher. Not only will everyone know you are important, but they will be convinced that you are humble too. You win both ways. The deeper meaning of all this should be obvious. God is not impressed with people who drop his name or try to make other people think they are extremely spiritual and have a special in with him. The lawyers and Pharisees had revealed that they were guilty of doing that. They had made it almost impossible to follow the Sabbath commandment by adding rules, which only they fully understood, rules from which they could exempt themselves if it suited their convenience. Grabbing for the best seats at the party was a social manifestation of their spiritual problems. They were only interested in outward show and in impressing other people with their piety and their importance. God has an extremely limited interest in outward displays of piety. God looks at your heart because he can. He can tell, without any particular help from you, whether you are really with him or against him. If all we are looking for in this life is the good opinion of other people, we will find that it is not terribly hard to get. But the good opinion of God is the only thing that has any enduring value. So we are better advised to spend our time cultivating it. We get God's good opinion not by showing off, but by being sorry for our sins, as St. Paul puts it, in lowliness and meekness, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, in the bond of peace. And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever. Amen.